Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Grit and Barrett Podcast, a podcast devoted to the 11-time Calder Cup champion, the Hershey Bears. We talk Hershey Bears, the American Hockey League, and all the hockey news that matters to me. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk from a hack. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Grit and Barrett Podcast, everyone. It is mid-January, everyone. January 17th, Martin Luther King Day. Hope you are enjoying your day off, or maybe your work will do an advanced day off from this. Hey, you do you, as the kids like to say. My name is Richard Blosser, welcoming you to another edition of this podcast, and my God, is it hockey weather out there here in Pennsylvania. It's snow, it's cold, there's wind, it's cold. I actually grew the old stubbles out this past week. Of course, you couldn't see it because we don't have a video clips up yet. But grew that out last week, considering I work outside a good bit. So, just that time of year where it's bitterly cold and you really warm the car up, a lot of hockey parents are going, "Cry me a frickin' river. You can go bitch with my kids in the back." But anyway, welcome back to another episode of this. It's good to be doing this, everyone. We've come up about a year later doing this podcast, and it wouldn't have been done without each and every one of you. So thank you very much. So let's get into it. This past weekend, a little less busier than what we've had the past couple weeks. No 3-3s, just two hockey games this week. Of course, on the horizon is a huge weekend coming up for the Hershey Bears. But we'll get to that later in the show. But we had to get through this weekend as we had a very special guest come down. The Toronto Marlies came back to Hershey for the first time since March 8th, 2019. The first time the Marlies had been to Giants Center. Good God, that's a long time. But We were supposed to play them at Giant Center on March, I think, 13th, 2020. Kind of didn't happen, you know, because all that changed when the coronavirus attacked. So we get to see the Toronto Marlies back, our second Canadian opponent this year, and it's always good to see the team from the Great White North, especially in the Toronto. How you doing there, folks? Hope we get to see Bob McKenzie come down this week and take in the action. Oh, take off there, eh? Sorry, I had to do that. I am showing my age. Hold on a second. There we go, a little sip of Perrier. Let's get right into it. But before we do, the Toronto Marlies, they are the farm club of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, of course, if you're an Original Six team, your jerseys are exact copies of your parent club. The Marlies, well, what's a Marley? I don't know. Go ask someone in Canada. Go ask them. But their logo was a maple leaf with a queen's crown in the middle of it. Now, at my time at Ren Faire, I've had a good amount of Canadian people that I work with. Nothing wrong with that. And I actually asked them once, you know, the Toronto Marlies have a crown in the middle of their maple leaf. What does that mean? And he said it's because some of Canada, or a good amount of Canada, is still owned by England. So it's kind of saying, you know, paying tribute to the crown. Oh, okay, cool. You'll learn something new every day. So the Marlies, like I said, their jerseys, they are very basic. They are blue. They are Maple Leafs blue with white numbering and lettering, big block lettering, and the blues are okay. I mean, I've had a Marlies jersey here back when they had the big Maple Leafs and Sticks logo. I'm sorry. It just doesn't put no toot in my horn. Sorry. Now, there is a rare Marlies jersey out there back from the 09s when you had the Reebok Edge design that had the striping down the front. It's the first time they actually had an animal logo. It was a dog biting down on a hockey puck like, arr, arr. And it was kind of cartoonish and it had Marlies below him and he was holding a hockey stick. It sounds weird, but go Google it. It's amazing. And you can't find it out in the open whatsoever. It's like the Utica Comets neon green jerseys. Anyway, I've seen the whites of the Marlies. Those are fine. The blue block lettering pops off on those. But anyway, you know me. I love it when Canadian teams come to Giant Center because that means we get both national anthems. And it's a good time had by all. But I love O Canada's anthem. I really do. But enough about that. Let's play some hockey, damn it. There was a good, healthy crowd there at Giant Center. Good 9,000 people were there. And sure, that kind of blows the argument out of the water of people only show up when Wilkes-Barre and Lehigh come to town. Yeah, not really. This is a Canadian opponent there, eh? So, yeah, they showed up. And the Bears have been missing a good amount of people. Matt Molson, Eddie Witko, Bobby Nardella is injured. Cale Kessie had been on the mend for a little bit, but he was back. You know, Big Beck's out of the lineup. Those are big bodies that are out of the lineup. So the Bears are playing a little bit more of a small run-and-gun puck recently, and it's been two interesting results. But no one's going to take pity on us. You know, the rest of the league's dealing with injuries and COVID, so, you know, oh well, oh well. No one's going to have pity on you. Let's get into it, shall we? The boys, you know, get into some penalty trouble early, and the Marlies put their squad out there. There's no former Hershey Bears out there, but I see number 96. Who's number 96? That's, let's say on the back. Hosang? As in Josh Hosang? As in former Bridgeport Sound Tiger pain in the ass Josh Hosang? That guy? Okay. All right. He's there. But the boys are able to get it out of the zone, and on they go. It's Pilon and AJ to 2-on-1 into the zone. Pilon looks over to AJ, kneeling, fire, scores! Another shorthanded goal for the Bears. AJ kneeling had the entire freaking net to shoot at. Joseph Wall, I don't think so. AJ cares not, and it's 1-0 Hershey. Great job by the lads. Another shorthanded goal, third goal on the week, and you don't want to do a penalty kill against these guys. But good, these guys are getting chances. Special teams are stepping up and all that, and it's been doing good so far. Real good stuff. But Toronto in the second period, they're not going to go away that easily. Faceoff win, back to the point. Long wrister scores, beats Fucali. Just a long wrister beats him out and ties the game. Well, did we really think it was gonna go this way? Nope, no reason to. And with the Marlies, I haven't really seen a lot of this squad since the 15-16, actually the 16 Calder Cup Conference Finals, when this was the Blue Legion, when you had Mitch Marner, Nylander, and so many pieces that were going to become future Toronto Maple Leafs and subject of many urinating tree videos. When they were really good, they were a really, really fast team, run and gun, and could put points on you early. But we knew how to beat them. The way you beat those Marlies were simple. You survived the first two periods. You don't allow them to score a lot of goals. And eventually, the legs are going to run down. The conditioning ain't the best. But when you put up four goals early, what do you need defense and goaltending for? Kind of sounds like the God Mode team a little bit. Anyway, but that's how we beat the Marlies. And it almost felt like they were trying to do that with us, because we're trying to run and gun against these guys, and that's not really something you want to do against the Marlies. They got speed. They got skill. They got game, as the kids like to say. And in the second, the boys bounce back. They push back, gain entry to the zone, a nice little give and go to Pilon, who just goes in, tucks around the circles. Deke shot, scores, beats Wall. Oh my goody goodness. A nice power play goal by the boys, just comes in around the defense. Deke shot, scores like you're playing NHL 11. Yes, I said NHL 11, the better hockey game. Anyway, so 2-1. Like, all right, we're going to play these guys good. We got this. We'll be able to handle them. But nope, the Marlies get it right back as they get a power play goal of their own to tie it at 2. Brother, off a nice big fat rebound that just comes right in front of Fucali. And, you know, usually guys miss it because it was just out of the reach of the Marlies player, who just goes, and just tucks it right underneath the pad. I mean, it's a nice play, darn it. It really was. It was a nice play. So, all right. We got this. Going into the third, the Marlies come out flying in the third, high flying, get up on their horse. They just start going. Oh boy, this is going to be rough. Josh Hosang, long shot gets blocked down. Secondary shot gets kicked out by Fucali and goes right back to Hosang from the bottom of the circle. Backhand scores. And the Marlies take the lead. Josh Hosang gets the goal to make it 3-2. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, gosh. All right, we're going to have to work. We're going to have to work to get this lead back. And this is where we were getting some troubles with Bridgeport before. Just dumping pucks into the zone, not getting to them, not winning the puck battles. I mean, the Marlies don't have the physical presence that Bridgeport did. But I'm noticing the boys are getting pushed. They're getting pushed off the pucks easily. They're not winning the battles anymore. We're small and we're fast, but not really in the fun kind of way, at least not anymore. So, you know, yeah, maybe the injuries are starting to catch up with us. But with about 8 minutes to go in the third, finally we win a faceoff. Domoski, thank God, goes back out to Geiser. Rister, oh my goodness, it's in! Tobias Geiser beats Walt. It's not Walt. We had a goalie replacement. Get to that in a bit. But ties the game. Geiser, long wrister, gets it by the goalie. We're tied at 3. Good stuff all around. Nice job by Geiser, who's starting to feel his oats and feel more confident and get back into this. Great job by Geiser. Good to see a lad getting his confidence. Now, as I was saying, the Marlies did a goal switch because Wall got injured. Wall got run into by his own player and went toppling down. Tried to get up. You could tell it was a leg. He's trying to push off of it. We take a media timeout. He skates over, talks to the coach, looks at the backup, talks to the coach, and he's shaking his leg. He's like, I'm good. I'm gonna play this out. Skates back over. One play, slides over for the save, and you could just tell in his body language, he was like, yeah, nope. Next stoppage, I'm out, Jerry. I'm out. I'm done. Get him in. Nope. Got a leg thing. Nope. I'm out. And we don't blame him. It didn't look pretty, and you could tell by his body language that his night was done. Turn in the helmet, kid. His watch has ended. So 3-3, we're going to overtime. How the heck are the Marlies going to play this? So the Marlies, I mean, do they play the Jenga tower straight, or do they just start pulling out blocks? No, they're slow, methodical, and painful. Lovely. And the Bears get some chances, but you see some of that overtime confidence going away. Like, teams, now that they've played more of the overtime, they're not nearly as aggressive in overtime. Everybody plays slow, methodical, and painful now. That they'll just wait and bite their time, and maybe if a two-on-one develops, you pray to God you have the talent, but you don't see a lot of the fast breaks and the mess-ups anymore. The Bears did have an opportunity out front, throws one out to Domoski, just couldn't pull the trigger. The bounces are going the Bears' ways. The Marlies collect it. They get into the zone. It's some 3-on-3 long wrister. Fucali saves it, but instead of the puck being down to his legs and him just kicking it out to the corner, it just hits his pads and dies. Just falls right in front of him. And before he can react, there's Stevens for the Marlies, knocks it in, and that's it. Game over. Marlies win it 4-3, the final. And did this set the fan base ablaze. Fucali's not playing well. No wonder why Washington isn't playing. He's got to get rebound control. Well, concerning that overtime goal, like I'm telling each and every one of you, 9 times out of 10, that puck hits his body and he's able to either hold it or kick it away to where it's not going to do anything. Again, the puck hit him and just dropped and fell. It's like you're trying to catch the ball, and usually when a ball comes and it bounces off of you, this one just hits you in the chest and just falls down. You can't control that. So I'm saying it's circumstances beyond his control. Now, is Fucali playing a little bit below what we were expecting of him? Maybe. The defense is not doing him any favors at times, but, the friends of the podcast, the Calder Farm Stand, hello, Sean, did mention this in their season preview of the Bears. We all praised Fucali, myself included. I drank the Kool-Aid, saying that Fucali looked really, really good last year. But hence we not forget, boys and girls, that he went up against a really bad Wilkes-Barre team, a very fresh Phantoms team, and a really badly run Binghamton Devils team last year. 3 mediocre bad opponents that made him look really, really good. Now, you can't control who's put in front of you. And he earned that extension, gotten some time with DC because they've kind of needed it. And he's taken advantage of the opportunities that have been given to him. But now, he's playing teams outside of the I-81 corridor. Yeah, we're going to want more out of him. But you can't expect what you got against really bad teams last year to be the same this year. Last year, you can't take that into consideration. And again, I know, weren't you at the beginning of the season singing his praises that this might have been the best tandem in the AHL? I might have said something like that this may have been the best tandem in the American Hockey League. Who would say such a thing like that? Checks Twitter a lot. Make sure I didn't say that. Who'd say that? But anyway, I think the Bears do have a good goaltending core in all seriousness. But one of these guys of Copley, Fucali, and Shepard, someone's going to be the odd man out as we reach the trade deadline in about 2 months. And if I'm all of you, I'd start looking at that trade deadline on a few players that could be out the door. And methinks I might have to reach out to another friend that writes and blogs about the Hershey Bears to get his thoughts on said issue. But we weren't done yet, ladies and gentlemen, because we've got more work to do. We've got more to talk about as we take on those no good, dirty, filthy, flightless birds. But, boys and girls, it's time to talk. Some rumor and innuendo, as I was hearing from a few friends of mine. And next season, everyone, the American Hockey League is going down to 72 games. Everyone's going to play 72. The Bears are playing 76. They gave the option to teams in the East who want to play 76 or 72. But next year, everybody's going to 72. So this means the Bears' scheduling is going to change. And from what I'm hearing, I've heard this through group chats and other friends around Giant Center. So what I want everybody to realize is that before we do this, I want you to find your nearest drink, hold it in your hand, open it up, take a swig, and take everything you are going to hear as rumor and hargle-bargle, flimshaw, and humbug. This could happen, it could not happen, but I just want to share it with you from what I've been hearing. So from what I've heard is that we will play Wilkes-Barre and Lehigh will be reduced from 12 each to possibly 8 next season. That instead of playing these teams 24 times, we'll play these teams only 16. That we could play two other teams in our division 6 times and everyone else in our division 4. Which means, let's just say, for example, Bridgeport and Springfield, because of closeness, we play them 3 times, 3 and 3, and that would leave Hartford, Providence, and Charlotte. We play them 2 and 2. Twice where they are, twice back at home. I am also hearing that we will play everybody in the north twice, which means one up there, one back here. 4 games against the Syracuse Crunch might not happen. Like we do with Rochester, playing them only once and playing back at Giant Center only once, like we do with the Canadian teams. Cleveland, we play 4 times, but they're a weekend set. So, me and my friends did the math. You know, we added all that up. The North teams, who we play. Oh, that also means we could only play Charlotte 4 times, which means they play us twice up here and twice down at Mr. Bojangles. I do not like that at all, but that's just me because I love going to Bojangles. That when we added all those numbers up, that all the teams we would play, that came out to 68. 68 games out of the 72. That's everyone within our conference. We are playing one time there and there at minimum. So that could open up, possibly, and please do not take this as gospel, that the Bears could pursue the option to head out west. Now, this does not mean, are you expecting, oh, are the Bears going to go to Stockton? No. The Bears have to pay for that. Are you crazy? They're on a budget. That holiday shrimp cocktail ain't going to pay for itself. I kid because I care. Anyway, no, don't expect the Bears to go, you know, like west of Iowa. I mean, I personally would love to see a 4-game set against the Texas Stars. The rematch of the 09-10 Calder Cup Finals. Those green Texas Stars jerseys there at Giant Center in October or November. And then we go to Texas in February or March. Oh, come on. You'd go. The Booster Club? Sign me up. Sign me up, Jerry. I got family down there. Or possibly the Iowa Wild. The Grand Rapids Griffins. Helmer used to play for them. We had a couple years where we went out to Grand Rapids. Maybe Milwaukee. The Admirals. The 05-06 rematch. You know, the possibilities are there. That could also mean those could also get spent on other teams. Like maybe, you know, you play another Northern opponent one more time. So instead of only playing them twice, you play them four times. Like with Syracuse, because we're rivals, quote unquote. Or those could get tacked on to other teams. So that's just a possibility for next year, and what I'm hearing through rumors throughout the fan base. So to everyone, again, take what I'm saying with a pinch of salt and a shot of Mountain Dew or tequila, whatever floats your boat. But it presents a very interesting scheduling matrix next year if this comes home. Me personally, I am all for going to the Western Conference and bringing those type of opponents to Hershey. You know, having diversity amongst your opponents, like you have diversities in your portfolio. This will help. Me personally, the Iowa Wild. I'd love the Iowa Wild to come to Hershey. Those green jerseys against the whites of the Bears. Mwah. And the Wild's farm system is really, really good. And I'm sure some of you would like to see, you know, some other opponents. You know, four more game trade-off, less games against Lehigh and Wilkes-Barre for more shots against other teams from different areas of the country. I'm all for it. And who knows? Maybe, just maybe, we could have a moose sighting in Hershey once again. But all that, everyone, as I've said, is rumor and innuendo. So thank you for divulging me in that, everyone. We are going to take a short break and have a word from our sponsor at DraftKings Sportsbook. So, Bears fans, even though I am talking about hockey to each and every one of you, it is still playoff time in the National Football League, and DraftKings has a great offer for each and every one of you. All you gotta do is bet. It's bet during this wild card weekend, even though I know it's going to be wild card Monday. They're going to count down to Super Bowl 56 as all new customers can get 56-1 odd on any wild card game at the time of this recording to win their game. Bet just $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team is victorious. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have something to play for this wild card weekend. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Football Contest. I can talk. DraftKings is giving all new customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN this wild card weekend at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, PA only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now, on with the show. So we are back here on the Grit and Barrett podcast, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Always love doing this. Hope all of you have had a good weekend and are safe out there in the snow and the cold, or maybe it's nice in your part of the world. Who knows? So, cruddy Sunday, as a snowstorm was barreling down here in Pennsylvania. We had hockey to play up there in the arena in the shadow of a mountain as we took on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins for the 8th time in 4 months. 8th time in 3 months. Anyway, 7-0 against Wilkes-Barre, and you know, we're a little down, but you know, whenever you're feeling blue, go pick on little brother. You'll feel a lot better about yourself. And Wilkes-Barre's on a busy 3-3 weekend. They played the Phantoms on Friday and lost. They went down there and they beat them in the Electrodrome, so they're busy. All we did was play Saturday. He's okay, guys. We got this. We're fine. You know, hold on. Another drink, and away we go in this first period. Oh, boy. I'm sure the Bears are going to be fast. They're going to play fast and loose, and AJ loves playing against these guys. Gersich does really well against them. We're going to rebound against this. We're going to have dump in stall, and we're not really getting anything going. Neither is Wilkes-Barre. It's up and down and face-offs and a shot on Copley. Oh, wow. Hey, yeah. A long shot by Massey. Oh, hey, that's nice. He's doing something. Okay, there's a good amount of Bears fans in Wilkes-Barre. Okay. Oh, boy. Man, this is... Oh, what? Fluffernutter. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, that was 20 minutes of my life I'm not getting back. Thank God I didn't go up there. First period was a whole great big batch of nothing. I mean nothing. If I was up there, I'd be there on my phone doing faction feuds going, all right, who am I going to put in? Who among our good female wrestlers for me to play? DX China, she's really good. Carmel, anything happen down there? No? Okay. All right, I think I'll put Lana in. Ooh, Acro Trish, she's really good. Oh, nice save, Copley. Let me just put this just right in here. All right, let's get going. Let me get a feud partner gun. Oh, hey, nice hit, Cassie. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, calm down there, girl. You're going to give yourself a hernia or something. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm paying attention. Oh, yeah, I'm listening. Jesus, this was rough. Second period, Wilkes-Barre gets a power play, and this is the worst power play in the entire league. 9%, 9.8%, not 98%, 9.8% overall. I think they're like 8 for 25 against the Bears this season. How they ever get 8, it's a miracle. And they get a little bit of a cycle game, long going, lively bounce off the boards in front, crossing feet to Alex Nylander, and he scores. We give up a freaking power play goal to the worst blankety blank power play team in the league, and that mutant goal horn goes off. Lovely stuff, and it's 1-0 Wilkes-Barre. Joy. All right, we can get this back. We can get this back. Let little brother score a goal so he can feel good about himself. We'll be fine. We got this. We're cool. Still not winning puck battles, and we're kind of blindly doing passes through the neutral zone, reaching for pucks. Why are we reaching for pucks? This is only our second game of the weekend. Why are we reaching? The hell's going on? I mean, we're losing corner battles. We're not winning face-offs. Domoski, I know he just signed you to another 25-game PTO, but got to pay up there, buddy. You know, time is money. Face-offs are money, and I love money. You know, just not doing the little things, as AJ Styles once said, all about the little things. And when little things aren't going your way, they add up really, really quickly. And don't take this as a knock against Copley, boys and girls. This man played really, really good. But just what's in front of him? It ain't working. It ain't working. And we get to near the end of the period. The Bears try to start buzzing. Throw one in. Who is it? That's Napier. Throws one in on him. He drops it. It's loose in the crease. Jabbed away. Time's running out. It's in. It's in. Gershon scores. It's in with 3 seconds left in the period. It's in. He got it. Shane Gershon ties the game near the end of the second period. It's 1-1. A 5-on-5 goal. Who'd have thunk of it? That's our only second 5-on-5 goal throughout the weekend, and I'm counting Wednesday. Don't tell anyone. Is that good? No, it's not. Anyway, 1-1. We got this. All right, we got this. Let's, okay, could this go to overtime? Possibly. It'd be 3 very, very ugly points, but, you know, we got to get points to keep pace in this, and it's still more of the doldrums there in the third. My God. God, are we just playing down to our opponents? Are we really just playing down to them? Or is this just really not working? Do we miss Scarbosa and Beck and Molson that much? And midway through the third, you know, Morelli tries to get a puck in through the neutral zone, gets picked off and thrown, transition the other way. There's a guy in behind the defense. He's in all alone. Wilkes-Barre shoots and scores! A turnover at center ice, and it's the other way and into the net. And sometimes that's all that it takes. One screw up, one bad pass, one deflection, and it's the other way and into the net. Kind of feels like Dinkelberg. No. I mean playoffs. Feels like playoffs. Well, Wilkes-Barre ain't going to make the playoffs. Not even the playing rounds. But anyway, 2-1 Hershey, 2-1 Wilkes-Barre. We can do this. We can get back in this. We get a flurry on Napier to try and get back in this. But he's holding strong, surprisingly. And nothing's working for the Bears. Dump-ins are getting beaten to. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Puck battles, beaten to. Pushed off the puck. You could really use a guy like Eddie Whitko right now. Or Beck Malenstein, a big beefy boy to push some of these guys around. And the boys, they try with what, in a way, limited capabilities. We're trying to be a run-and-gun team. And it's like they've caught on to our run-and-gun mentality. They've caught on to us. And we tried, but it wasn't enough. Little brother finally beat big brother. Wilkes-Barre 2, Hershey 1, game over. So we go 0-0-2. If you count Wednesday for the week, 2 points. For very briefly, we held first place in the division, and a regulation loss kicks us from first to third. That shows you how tight it is in the Atlantic. So, you know, sucks losing to Wilkes-Barre. Really sucks to losing them, but nobody's going to have any pity on us, boys and girls. It's just how the league is. Everybody's got injuries, COVID, and taxi squad. You just got to deal with it. Whenever these guys are going to get back and find a way to make it work. So we're just going to have to wait and see. The good news is for the boys, there's no Wednesday night game this week because coming this Saturday, looking ahead, after 2 years, it's finally back. The legendary Teddy Bear Toss has returned as we take on the Hartford Wolfpack. Ew. In a double set next weekend, Saturday night, and a 3:05 tilt there on a Sunday afternoon. Should be a good time as we take on Hartford. So I'm definitely excited for the Teddy Bear Toss. I've got 8 Walmart bags all ready to go for the big event. Last time we did this, we got over 45,000 teddy bears, and we're hoping to do that once again. You know, make sure you check out the socials with the Hershey Bears and all that, because I'm sure they'll be doing lovely stuff. It's a shame they don't do like what the Calgary Hitmen and the Edmonton Oil Kings do, is that they actually have special teddy bear toss jerseys, and I'd love to see the Bears do that, but they'll never do that. At least I don't think so. But, you know, the Bears are sitting in third in the division right now, and who pulled ahead of them? None other than Providence themselves. Here's Providence! Don't give me that look. These black and yellow guys do this crap each and every year. I've seen it. I've warned people. They do this all the time. Providence is now atop the division at 6:21. They passed us. Springfield passed us as well, but there's not a lot of difference. There's only 0.03 points percentage between us and Springfield. Hartford, only 0.06 percentage behind us. So a tight log flume there between second, third, and fourth. Charlotte is sitting there in fifth, collecting wins down there at Mr. Bojangles Coliseum. Lehigh Valley clawing their way back to 500 at 467 at 10, 12, 6, and 2. Again, getting points, but suffering a few losses over the weekend has not helped their cause. Bridgeport got a win or two over the weekend and are back out of the basement, but Wilkes-Barre is right where they belong at the bottom of the division, 11, 15, 1, and 3, although they're on a winning streak with 2 wins so far. They actually got to double digits. So it'll be an interesting week for the Hershey Bears. Hopefully we get some reinforcements and get some help along the way. So that'll do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast for this Monday, everyone. You know, thank you for your time, listens, and downloads, and pushing a couple other of our episodes up and over the 200 downloads mark. Thank you so much to everyone. Last week's episode topping over 100. And, you know, we still got a lot of goodness heading out. Next month, I'm hoping to get out a NHL halfway, maybe get Nick Berlansky, maybe get a Yinzer on as well. And hopefully we can do an assessment of the Bears at that point as well. So thank you to everyone for listening. My name's Richard Blosser, and nothing else but left to say, but stay positive, test negative, go Bears, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020 to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett Podcast, and go Bears.